This week on Friday, a young pastor passed away into eternity. 45 years old and too young to die, but diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. And I read his story this morning. He pastored the First Southern Baptist Church at Dell City, where Cindy and I started over 40 years ago. And 3 years ago, was diagnosed with aggressive form of stomach cancer, was told he would only live a few short period of time. 3 years passed because he had believed and trusted that God would continue to watch over him. And in the midst of all that, one season, completely healed of all the cancer. But then it aggressively came back on him in recent days. And it's interesting to read of his last week of his life, because seldom do we think about that each one of us will walk into eternity at some point. Perhaps not from some grievous illness, but in God's timing, he calls us into his presence. As I read this story on Monday of this past week, Valentine's week, laying in his bed in his home, suffering greatly, looking so small and malnourished, and obviously in great pain, he called his wife to his side and said, "Would you lift my hands up?" Well, his wife's first thought was, "Well, apparently he's uncomfortable, and he wants to find himself in a different place." But as she lifted his hands, he began to praise the Lord and began to sing a song. And she said that was God's Valentine gift to her, to hear him sing one more time, to see his heart. But he had one other thought in mind leading up to last Sunday. He had prayed that not only would God let him live, but also let him live long enough to see his youngest child baptized. Well, last Sunday, he baptized her. Frail, standing beside the baptismal water, didn't have enough strength to be able to take her under and pick her back up. But it's interesting what he said. He said, "Now you are my sister in Christ." And for that 10-year-old, for Mallory, there's no doubt that on Friday, when her father exited into eternity, she had to remember the precious words shared by her father. But the doctor said he couldn't live. But he told his wife that he believed Jesus, he would live long enough to see his youngest child baptized. What you see in this illustration is what transforming faith can do. Because the reality is, 3 years ago, the doctor said, "You're going to live just a short time, you're going to be gone." But God had a different plan. And for each one of us, when it comes down to our faith, how transforming it is really the definition of whether we succeed or fail and experience life the way he intended. And that's why when we get to Matthew chapter 8, we find ourselves in one of those mesmerizing parts of Jesus' earthly ministry. Because Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount. Powerful, profound, definitive. This is who you are. This is what you ask for. This is how you live. This is what you should watch after. And then all of a sudden in Matthew chapter 8, he finds himself again encountering a multitude. Remember at the very end of Matthew chapter 4, thousands of people following him, thousands of people looking for what he's up to, and then all of a sudden, he finds himself with another multitude of people, another group of people. But in the midst of that group of people, there are some people who obviously have specific needs that only can be directed towards a transforming faith. And it's interesting because in this, you find the most unlikely characters fitting into Jesus' story. Because what you find is, here is a leper who approaches Jesus. Here's a centurion who approaches Jesus. And here is Peter's mother-in-law suffering in illness whom Jesus approaches. And so what you discover is here are these stories that are part of Jesus' earthly ministry, but they have such a profound impact on all those who are watching, because for the leper, he was never supposed to be near Jesus. For the leper, he was forbidden to be close to him. He was forbidden to be around anyone. And yet, can you imagine what the leper had heard, what the centurion had heard? Can you imagine what had gone through their mind when they realized Jesus was coming their way? And what I want you to see today is this. He comes our way as we have a transforming faith of trusting in him. And so as you think about that, you begin to ask yourself a simple question. What does it take for you to trust? What does it take for you to be willing to say, "I trust him no matter what"? This week, I was interacting with a pastor who works with orphans in Uganda, and my interaction was intriguing because I began to ask him what motivated him to be connected and trying to help so many children, and it was interesting. He said because in one moment, my whole life changed. In one moment, I'm walking down the street, and there's a box that's delivered to where I live. And in that box was the corpse of a little child that no one loved. And they had put in a plastic bag, placed in a box, and left on my doorstep. And when he said, when I saw that child, he said, I knew then that for every hungry child, for every child looking for an answer, Christ had to be the answer. And as I interacted with him, I thought to myself, he had trust. He was willing to trust that God would provide no matter what. And so you can imagine as you find yourself in Matthew chapter 18, you discover something. Because transforming faith will cause you to marvel at his ways. This young man, I'm telling you about this in Uganda, he has 128 little kiddos that he works with in his house. And I said, well, where do they all sleep? He said, they line up across the floor and they all sleep. And it's always better than being on the street. It's always being better than being persecuted in some way. And as he said, I thought he had transforming faith. And it made me marvel at how God works. And here's what I want you to think about. When is the last time you marveled at something God did? Where all of a sudden it hits you, you know what? Only he could do this. Only he could work through this and make this happen in such a profound way. And that's why in Matthew chapter 8, we find the stories of these three people. All right? And I want you to get in mind that Jesus makes two very definitive statements and then takes one action that I want you to get in your mind as well. All right? So look, if you would, Matthew chapter 8 and follow along with me, because what I want you to see is here's the touch point of the entire message. If you come to the place where you can trust him no matter what, then you'll experience things you never dreamed you would. You'll begin to encounter him in a profound way. And I read this quote by Jim Elliott, as you remember, martyred many years ago. Listen to what he said. Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. And when I read that, right, wherever you are, be all there. So with faith, watch this, it's me willing, being willing to trust no matter what. The leper had no clue what all was going to transpire in his life, but he had the wisdom and the faith to approach Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, notice what happens. And a leper came to him, bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing. Jesus, stretching out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing. And you ought to underline those three words in your Bible and realize something, that when Jesus makes this statement, for the leper, it was the difference of his whole life. Because in one moment, he understood that God was willing and able to accomplish whatever he intended to in each one of our lives. And so all of a sudden he says, you're going to be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Which, by the way, if you have any familiarity with leprosy, you realize only Jesus could transform it that quickly and change it so much. Boom, like that. All right, look on though. Look at the next passage if you would. Verse 5. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now watch these phrases. I am willing, I will come. All right? I want you to get this in mind, because if you get this in your heart, you know he's willing, you know he'll come. What does it do for your faith? It makes you live through things so differently than if you had nothing that you depended on. If you depend on him, you get very focused. You start, Lord, by the way, the next time you face something, just recognize he is willing. He will come to you. And that's exactly what happened to the centurion. We'll dig into this story in just a moment. Then look on at verse 14 with me, if you would. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him. Most biblical scholars believe that the mother-in-law was very sick, very sick. And I guarantee you, anybody in here who's had the flu this season would love for Jesus just to touch them and that flu to be gone, right? All right, if you had the flu this year, this season, raise your hand. Am I right, everyone? If he could just touch you and it'd be gone. But he does allow sometimes to endure some things, and we recognize that. But what happens here with Peter's mother-in-law is all of a sudden, she is laying there, she is sick, and Jesus doesn't say a word, which tells you something. Don't always think you have to hear something. Sometimes you just have to watch him work. And what happens is Jesus touches her, and it's interesting because she immediately, got up and got moving and gets focused on what it is she's supposed to do, which tells you something. When you go through a season, it's difficult, and God does heal you and carry you through it. It may take you a few days, but you're back normal and your back life is back in gear. When you go through that season, get up and get moving again. Get doing what it is he intended to do through you. Don't get parlayed into realizing, thinking that, well, you know, maybe it's going to come again. I'm going to face something else. Focus in on him. And so here we find this amazing story. And I want you to get this in your mind. And if you get these three thoughts in your head, it'll help you. Number one, he is willing. He is willing. Number two, he's marvelous. I mean, let me tell you, what you discover is the centurion made Jesus marvel. And the reason he marvels is because he's marvelous. He was marveling at what the faith the centurion had, but he's also one of the most marvelous thing that you can imagine. Jesus is touching these lives that everyone else said, get away, get away, get away. One of the questions you have to ask yourself, too, is how the leper got so close. How did the leper get near him in light of everyone knowing he was a leper? They knew he was afflicted. No telling what was wrong with his body. And so the third thing I want you to be aware of is he takes notice. Jesus walks in the room, and what happened? He walks in the room, and he realizes somebody's sick. And what I want you to realize is nothing is missed by God. Nothing takes him by surprise. He's always adequate to whatever it is you're facing in life. He's always adequate. He is willing. He is marvelous. He always takes notice. All right, so let's look at this story. And I want to break it down into three stories because these are three different incidents that all occur, which, by the way, other gospels correlate into some of these stories. And I want to show you one part of the centurion story that's pretty amazing in itself. But today, as you think about this, the first one is this, the leper. So let's look at this. He makes a statement, and he asks the Lord in verse 2, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean, if you're willing. And Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, he's referring to Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, okay? The leper realizes something. The leper realizes that in order for him to come to a place where he can seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, so he can live out Matthew 6:33, he's got to also be aware that as he goes to the priest, he's going to walk in there a cleansed man. But it's interesting because if you look at Leviticus 13:14, there was very specific rules given to them regarding leprosy because it was so contagious. And many believe that if you just were around someone that had it, you would get it. And so Jesus said, don't go tell anybody else until you go do this particular thing. Which, let me give you an example. If God does something for you, your first action should not be to tell 500 people. Your first action should be to thank God in heaven and take a season of gratitude. It says, Lord, I thank you. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get across the leper. All right? So Jesus hears him ask the question, are you willing? And by the way, this is so powerful because if you get in your mind that he's willing to help me no matter what I'm facing, I am willing. It does something for your faith because your faith grows. It begins to be blessed by him. So he says, I am willing. And what you discover is that Jesus is willing to impact our faith. He willingly impacts our faith. He causes us to trust him beyond ourselves. And if I want you to think about this for a moment, it was one moment. One moment, the leper had spent no telling how much time completely removed from society, completely removed from culture, and all of a sudden, in one moment, everything changed. It changed everything because all of a sudden, it transformed his life, it transformed his faith. The leper, can you imagine following this, what his perspective was on life? And what I want you to get in mind is leprosy was an affliction of the body that affected not only the outside but the inside. It is the same thing that happens when sin afflicts us, takes away our direction, takes away our purpose. And what I want you to see today is this. He is willing to cleanse us of whatever it is that comes our way. We just have to be willing to entrust ourselves to him. And I want you to get in your head. Think about this. Next time you face something, you stop and say, he is willing. And what happens is you begin to live out faith instead of doubt and discouragement and disobedience. You start saying, Lord, I can trust you no matter what. You see, I want you to get in your mind, when the leper, you'll notice when the leper approaches Jesus, now notice what he does here. It says the leper came to him and then all of a sudden bowed down before him. Can you imagine? And as he's bowed down, his head is bowed down, all of a sudden he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Can you imagine the power of that moment? That leper had enough faith to believe that Jesus was going to take care of him. But I want you to see something really important, and that is the Bible says that Jesus touched him. Look at that, because what you discover is Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Now, here's what I want you to see. It was forbidden. It was forbidden to touch a leper. And what Jesus does, he models something for all those who are religious, who are contending with him. They don't get it, but he puts his hand on him. And what I want you to see today is that there's no one so far away from the grace of God, no one so far removed from the opportunity to encounter him. They just have to come to the place they realize that he is willing to meet us where we are. And when he meets us where we are, he changes our lives forever. So today, as you think about your own life, do you see him as willing? You see him as willing to meet you where you are? If you do, then you're right on path to a transforming faith. But then, right out of that story, Jesus comes into Capernaum, and in Capernaum, he encounters a centurion. Now, let's get this in mind for a second. Is a centurion somebody loved by all the Jewish people? No. Is a centurion somebody who is admired by everyone? No, these soldiers brutalized them. But this one was different. This one realized there was something more to life. And yet at the same time, his capacity to make this kind of request, would you come to my house? Would you take care of this servant? Look at it with me if you would. Notice what he does. And in verse 5, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And notice what Jesus said to him. I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to no one, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, notice verse 10. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed that very moment. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, all of a sudden, he hears Jesus say, I will come. And here he's graciously offering to meet this need by coming to him. And it's interesting because later on in the Gospel of Matthew, we find this, come to me, all you are heavy laden, burden, and I will give you rest. So what's Jesus saying? He said, come to me, I'll transform you, but also I'll come to you. And it's amazing because what happens is that all of a sudden a centurion, his faith is strong, his faith is powerful, but he makes this very clear request. I want you to, will you meet this need of this of the servant? And by the way, typically a centurion would take no interest in someone like this. It was not like this would be his normal course of action. But in order to understand the heart of this centurion, you have to look at the Gospel of Luke. So look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, just for a moment. Because if you don't see Luke chapter 7, you don't understand the dynamics of this man who makes this request of Jesus, and in which Jesus says, I will come. Which, by the way, get in your head. If you want to have a faith that's strong, is transforming, remember he will, remember he'll come. He's willing, he'll come. What a way to live life, knowing whatever it is you're facing, he will come. All right? Look at Luke chapter 7, if you would, beginning in verse 1. When he completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. All right? And a centurion slave, who was highly regarded by him, was sick and about to die. All right? So you're getting Luke the physician's perspective here. And when he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. All right, so that phrase, when he heard about Jesus, what tells you something, when Jesus is the subject, it is distinguished different than anyone else in life because Jesus is the key to everything we'll ever face in life. Look on, though. Verse 4, when they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue." Do you see that? Here's a centurion who ends up doing something consequential for the people. In reality, without any awareness, watch this, without any awareness that Jesus is going to be the answer to everything he'll ever face in life. But what he discovers is when he encounters something that he can't fix. Remember what he said? Why does he say, "I tell them to go, I tell them to come, I have the authority that they operate under it"? What he's trying to say to you and I, and make sure we don't miss this, is that you and I need to realize that we all live under authority. We live under the authority of Jesus that work in our hearts and lives, and that authority governs the affairs of our lives. And so what he says is, "I understand authority." And it's also interesting to me, the centurion makes it very clear, I don't want you to feel compelled to come into, I don't want you to feel compelled to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to be there. And watch this. It doesn't matter whether you live in the smallest trailer in the worst corner of Atlanta, Georgia, Jesus comes to your house. He will come wherever you live. It doesn't matter whether your house is beautiful, whether your house hadn't been painted in 40 years, he will come to your house. How do I know this? I'm telling you, as a little boy, I grew up watching a grandmother who never painted the walls of her house. The wallpaper was never completed. It was an old little house sitting on a hill. But when I turned in the driveway, I realized something. I was going to a place where a woman lived and a man lived who realized that Jesus was willing, that Jesus would come, and indeed Jesus would take notice of what it was we were facing. And I can remember as a little boy going through heartache and difficulty and pain, rejection, all those things. When I always arrived at her house, I always had the same sensation, the same feeling. I was coming to a house where a woman knew that Jesus would show up. And what I want you to get in mind in your own heart and life today, he'll show up to your apartment where you live. He will show up to where it is you work. He will show up and he'll meet you where you are. And he will come to you and he'll meet that need. Imagine what your faith would be like today if you realize no matter where you work, no matter where you live, no matter what it is you're about, he is near you. He's coming to you, especially when you face a need that you need his intervention. And what happened to centurions, he realized he needed this intervention so badly because he had one faith, and that one faith caused him and caused Jesus to marvel. I mean, look at what Jesus says there again in verse 10. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. In other words, he looked at the centurion and heard what he said. He said, going, "Man, I'm amazed. I've heard this." Which, by the way, it's the same marveling feeling I have at times when I hear out of the mouth of our children who come to our church, great testimony to their faith in Jesus, great testimony to the reality of who Jesus is, and great testimony to their belief and understanding that Jesus is with them no matter what. It's powerful. And so Jesus, he just marvels. And what I want you to get in your mind today is this. Do you cause him to marvel as well? Think about that question. Do you cause him to marvel when he sees how you believe, when he sees what you trust in, when he sees how you live? Does the Lord look at you and say, "You know what, that's such an amazing testimony, such an amazing story"? It makes you marvel. One thing you get in mind today is this, that as you live your life, there ought to be moments, just like Shane Hall displayed as a young pastor in Oklahoma City facing death. His last sermons were connected to contentment. Being and Christ being all you need. Can you imagine his contentment with a body riddled, eaten with cancer, was not focused on cancer, it was focused on Christ. And what I want you to get in mind is this, when you face something, you need to realize he'll come to you. He'll come to you and he'll bless you and he'll watch over you. He'll guide you. He'll speak to your heart. You just have to be willing to say, "Lord, I'm trusting you. In this, I'm trusting you no matter what." Because what transforming faith takes us beyond ourselves to a God who understands everything. When I have a transforming faith, I realize that I am in it all the way to trust him no matter what. And so here, first of all, the leper finds himself cleansed. Secondly, the servant of the centurion finds himself healed. And you can imagine that Jesus, and Matthew records this story, Jesus is moving from that to the private residence of some people he loves and he cares about. And we find ourselves in that third very amazing story. Look, if you would, with me in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She got up and waited on him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Quoting out of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And what Matthew does here, I want you to get this in your head. I mean, what Matthew records for us regarding Jesus' action. And Jesus walks in the room and quickly observes there's a problem. And obviously, he goes into that room. He doesn't have to say anything. He just touches her. Now, I want you to imagine, remember last time you had fever? It's a strange thing, isn't it? Because your body will make you feel cold. Your body will make you feel hot. And you feel cold, you feel hot. But one thing you know is it's not normal. And some spike all the way up to 104 and above at times. Very dangerous. Well, no matter how sick the mother-in-law was, the reality is that in one moment, Jesus touched her, and all of that fever went away. And what's interesting is that the Bible records, and Matthew validates it, when he touched her, she didn't lay around for another 2 hours saying, "Oh, man, I think I'll feel better. I think this is all working. I mean, I don't feel fever anymore. I mean, whoa, I'm doing lots better." No. The Bible says she got up and started serving him. Is that transforming faith or what? That her faith, watch this, was not anchored in her calamity or pain or difficulty. Her faith was anchored in a God who was going to watch over her no matter what. And she stood up and got moving. And so I want you to imagine today that you're here and all of a sudden you start realizing, wait a minute, he observes what I'm up to in life? He's that observant? Yes, he is. And because he'll observe what you're up to, and when he does, he takes notice of it. He took notice of her need, and he met that need. He saw what she was facing, and said, "I'm going to meet that need." And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. I illustrated with you just asking a question, sharing the story of the Ugandan pastor that I visited with this past week. It's interesting because I asked him, how do you feed 128 kids? And it's interesting what his answer was. Jesus always provides. Jesus always provides. And I asked the question, well, does the government help you do this? He said, absolutely not. The government doesn't have any concern for these kids. And he sent me a picture of a little boy that was found on the street with his feet burned and his hands burned. Thugs had taken him and put gas on his feet and on his hand and set him on fire. And he found this kid. And he brought that kid home to heal and to be watched over after taking that kid over to the hospital. As I listened to his story, I thought, here's a man who understands something. Jesus can touch anybody, even those burned by gasoline, and give them hope again. See, you maybe feel like you've been torched in life. You maybe feel like some things have really not come your way like you anticipated. Maybe you didn't get the circumstance, situation you desired. You didn't feel good about different dynamics. And all of a sudden, you're sitting in church, and you realize Jesus is observing everything you're about. And what you realize is one touch instantly affirmed her faith and her direction, her purpose in life. When it's interesting because when touched, the Bible says she gets up and starts acting. I want you to think about this. If your faith is transforming, nothing sets you back so far that you don't step up for the next opportunity. If that faith is so transforming, it moves you in a direction. It opens you up to experience who he wants you to be. And if you think about this, here are three people who got blessed dramatically. Blessed dramatically. I mean, the leper got blessed, the centurion got blessed, and the little one who was a servant child got blessed. The mother-in-law got blessed to be able to serve another day. That home was strategic to Jesus' earthly ministry. She got to keep serving. And I want to ask you this simple question. How do you react when you're blessed? How do you react when you're blessed? Because what happens is all three of these people got blessed and something happened inside of them. What happens if you and I, watch this, if you and I take whatever it is we're facing, These were three different afflictions, which, by the way, Matthew records in the next couple chapters, nine different miracles, all of which are all centered in the reality that Jesus is the real deal. These miracles are there for a purpose. They're there to show people this is not just somebody who's shown up, who's got a good word to say. This is someone who's came to change the world. And that's why by the time you get to Matthew chapter 10, after all these miracles, Jesus sends all those out who've been following. You know what? Now you go and do what it is I've told you to do. But do not go thinking you got to have so many different things with you. Do not go thinking you got to have all this equipment with you. You go believing and trusting, and don't even worry about what you're going to say, because I'll tell you what to say. The Spirit of God will tell you what to say when you're supposed to say it. That's why, for example, we head to Easter coming up in just a few weeks. I want to challenge you to think about something. What would happen if your faith was so strong that you asked somebody else to encounter and experience God the way you experience Him? That you invited them to church, you invited them to experience who we are, you invited them to come in and be blessed by worshiping with us. Easter would be so different for you, more so than even your friend, because your faith would be transforming and your friend would realize that you believe that it's important for them to be in the Lord's house worshiping Him. My challenge for you to do today is think about this. When you think about your own life, will you let Him transform your faith? Will you let Him do something in your faith that you didn't dream possible? Will you let Him speak to you in a new way? Will you let Him grab hold of your heart and guide you to a new encounter with Him? If you will, what you'll discover is He has something amazing in store for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for an amazing story of Jesus' life. Jesus, down to earth, meeting needs of lepers and centurion servants and mother-in-laws of Peter, all these people, or more than else, just doing what He came to do. And that was to validate the reality that He was the Savior of the world, that He came to change the world forever. And I pray in a special way, Lord, that You would speak to any heart here that's looking for an answer, looking for a direction, looking for a place to call home. If they're here and they need to connect their life into who we are, that You'd let them take that step of faith, that they would step into a transforming faith that says, I want to follow Him no matter what. Lord, if that is the case, I ask You to touch their heart during this very moment, just like You touched the body of Peter's mother-in-law. You touched the heart of anyone here and move them towards faith in You. We'll be blessed by it. I trust You to do what only You can do. I bless You because You are the one who gave me transforming faith and gave so many in this room a transforming faith to trust You no matter what. Bless as we respond. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.